listener, in today's episode of the Manufacturer Podcast, we'd like to wish you a Merry Easter, tell you what we've been up to, and introduce you to a new team member as three becomes four. Happy Friday to you, a particularly good Friday today. We plan to bring you the final episode of our Digital Transformation series very soon. In the meantime, we thought we'd assemble a bit of a pre-Easter episode for you. Glad to welcome back Joe Bush and James Devonshire to the podcast. Gents.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
And making her Manufacturer Podcast debut, a very warm welcome to Molly Cooper.
Hello, everyone.
Woo. Have you ever done a podcast before, Molly?
I haven't, actually, no. I've wanted to. I feel like I'd be quite good on there. Good at talking rubbish, usually, so.
We'll hold you to that, see if you feel
you're right in the right place.
We hadn't done a podcast previously to this, and now this has got like 12 listeners.
We started in quite earnestly, and then over the course of the last couple of years, we've just got steadily more ridiculous, which is a good thing. I'm not that's not a criticism in any shape or form.
I actually feel like this podcast sometimes has too much relevant content, and we don't actually have enough time just to chat unfiltered nonsense.
You edited yourself there, didn't you? Before we get into like the actual relevant content stuff, as this is an Easter special, how do we feel about Easter, guys? I'm kind of, because I've not really got much of a sweet tooth, so it's just that time of year where people just start throwing chocolate at me, and I can't be doing with it, to be honest. If I'd never ate another piece of chocolate again in the rest of my life, it wouldn't bother me.
You know what you want to do then? You want to go back to what the roots of this weekend are about. You want to praise himself, his Lord Jesus Christ, who made you. All right, you heathen.
I really don't think we want to go down this road, do we?
No. I've got five kids. So, yeah, this weekend is just going to be chocolate carnage.
I quite like Easter eggs. I feel like they're the best. They're like an elite chocolate, aren't they? Like mini eggs, you know, this time of year, you can just eat them. Yeah, yeah. No excuses. And they are pretty good.
The Easter egg is better. The Easter egg chocolate is better than chocolate bar chocolate, I find. The way it's formed, the way it's made. Hey, yeah, this is relevant. The way it's manufactured. Yeah, it's.
It doesn't taste better.
It's kind of thicker and just, yeah, I don't know. It's better than your standard chocolate bar.
I was going to say also, I'm not sure whether my mum was just mugging me off, but she said that you can only get Cadbury's cream eggs around Easter. Now, I didn't know because I've not been in the UK for so long. I thought they were an evergreen chocolate. But my mum, because she often sends me, I get her to buy some stuff. Then when I come over in June, I pick it up and I take back a bountiful booty of stuff. And I asked mum to get me some cream eggs. And she said, you can only get me Easter. And I was like, that seems like a cop out, mum. But I don't know. So I'm not going to call her out on it.
That's something I've never really investigated, just because I think that Cadbury's cream eggs are absolutely disgusting.
Oh, go to hell. Shut up.
Yeah, come on. are they an Easter thing, though? Or are they evergreen?
That's true. I think they used to be all the time. But then so many years ago, they only like maybe make them at Easter. So if you get them other times of the year, they're from production around Easter.
Old, new stock.
Let's have it right, though. Easter production starts like when Christmas finishes, right? So it feels like Cadbury's cream eggs are around all the time. Easter eggs have been on the shelves for what feels like ages. And so by that logic, so have Cadbury's cream. So, I don't know. They feel like they're around all the time. And you know what? I like them.
Another thing about Easter eggs is this is you would also notice, Molly, it's like a recurring theme of the podcast, is at some stage I will inevitably say something that betrays my age to the rest of the team. But when I was little, like Easter eggs now, they're all themed around the particular chocolate bar, right? So you buy a Kit Kat Chunky Easter egg, for example, and you get the Easter egg, and then you'll get a couple of bars of Kit Kat Chunky included in it. But when I was a kid, you got Easter eggs, and there would be some sort of sweets inside the egg. So you cracked open the egg and there'll be like a bag of like jelly tots in there or something. And I don't think you can get them anymore. That was quite exciting when I was a kid, because it was something inside the egg. You broke open the egg to get the sweets inside. They still do that now.
Yeah, but it's like just like mini eggs, like loose. Not there's not like a bag inside. It's just like chop and you rattle it and you can hear it. But when you break it open, they are in there.
Okay. What's your go-to Easter egg of choice, Molly? Are you kind of like the high-end sort of, you know, Thornton's Hotel Chocolat sort of vibe, or are you very much, you know?
Mini egg. Cadbury, like to... anything. I would have any of those.
I would like to treat myself this year, you know, and get like a proper high-end sort of 40 quid bad boy. I just feel... I deserve it. And I feel like it's what Jesus would want on his birthday.
Well, it's not his birthday, is it? It's the day...
Yeah, I know. It was a joke.
One thing... I know I've spent the last 5 minutes, you know, giving volleys to chocolate. But one thing I think they should do at Easter, and I think it's a really good idea. So if the manufacturers of Kit Kat are listening... You know, you get the Kit Kat Chunky and you also get the regular normal Kit Kat four-finger Kit Kat bar. I think at Easter, for a special, they should make a four-finger Kit Kat bar, but in the size of Kit Kat Chunkies.
Ooh.
So a four-finger Kit Kat Chunky Kit Kat.
That's quite good.
I'm not sure if the world's ready for that. Not only does Joe not celebrate Jesus Christ on Easter, he also... suggest heathen ideas for Easter eggs. This guy needs to be put to a stop immediately.
I used to like getting a
say that again. I think it got lost.
It just brought to mind JD's like usual Easter photograph where he has like people walking through his hometown whipping themselves dressed as Jesus. This is another weird thing.
Yeah, they're doing it at the moment.
The weird little, weird little facts from the Philippines that James drops in every now and again.
Oh,
yeah. No, they're doing it at the moment. I'll get some photos tomorrow if I can. It's a spectacle, Molly. I'll tell you that. I was going to say, when I was a kid, like, it's the same, I think, at Christmas. Like, when you had... we've all had grandparents, right? But you had, like, your grandparents, and you had one set, or, like, there was one. Like, my great-granny, she was awesome. Like, when I was a kid, she'd get me, like, the Christmas card with the racing car on the front with a tenner in it. Do you know what I mean? And then you had the other granny, who was just a bit shit, and got you, like...
Socks.
And got you, like... No, and got you, gave you a card with, like, I don't know, like, a, I don't know... a toadstool with like a pixie sat under it. It's like, no, I don't want that. I'm a young boy. So, but the same thing was with Easter eggs. Do you know what I mean? So my good granny, not, I had a good granny and a great granny, let's say. The good granny would get me an Easter egg and it'd be like, that's a bit crap. Didn't really think about that. But then the great granny, she'd get me like a Yorkie. I mean, when you were a young boy, a Yorkie Easter egg was like the pinnacle. It was the apogee of Easter eggs. Yeah.
Yeah. That's grown up. That's grown up.
Yeah.
Right. Yorkie. Yeah. When you're. A kid. Yeah.
I mean, like eight-year-old boy getting a Yorkie Easter egg.
Yeah.
It was like. And getting it as a small boy, it was either just the fact she knew what I liked, or she was saying, "Get out and get a job."
Yeah. It was a bit of it was kind of like a gateway into adolescence.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You should be. Yeah, like you're eight. You're eight. You should be driving a truck.
Yeah. Get out that chimney. Yeah. A Yorkie was always the chocolate bar that you bought your dad.
Yeah.
Or it's the chocolate bar your dad ate. Yeah. You know?
And back before we knew that toxic masculinity in the marketing they do was wrong. We thought it was for us. We thought we were special, only for boys. Yeah, simpler times. And then you grow up and you realize that's not on.
Yeah. Wasn't the phrase not for girls?
Not only for girls. Not only for boys.
Yeah. No, I remember it being just for boys. That's how I interpreted it. All right, chocolate aside. Well, actually, we will go back to chocolate shortly because our content...
Yes, of course, yes.
Recent content has focused on chocolate. But Joe, first of all...
Yes.
Tell us what you've been up to.
Okay, well, last week we attended the Innovation Report launch from the University of Cambridge. It's their Cambridge Innovation Industrial Innovation Policy, which is based at... Institute for Manufacturing, University of Cambridge. They produce an annual innovation report each year. you know, some of the sort of the data and facts and figures around innovation in industry can be a little bit fragmented. So this is the fourth year that they've done this report, and it kind of brings all that data together. And each within each iteration, they focus on a particular area of industry. That, you know, they've covered food and beverage, they've covered aerospace. This year they're covering manufacturing and equipment, which is quite an interesting one because it makes quite a significant economic contribution, underpins a lot of UK manufacturing competitiveness, and it also impacts other sectors, because obviously, you know, they're making that particular sector is making machines and equipment that is used by other manufacturing sectors. So that was quite interesting. And myself and Molly attended the launch, where there was also quite an interesting panel discussion, which covered elements of the report itself, but also the industry more widely and more in general. And there was contributions from JCB, the British Compressed Air Society, BCAS. There was someone from the Department of Business and Trade. So it was a very interesting discussion. Lots of interesting bits around the skills issue as well, particularly from the lady from BCAS, highlighting the fact that while they're sort of creating apprenticeships, a lot of the higher education institutions they're sort of in survival mode. So a lot of the apprenticeship courses they are unable to deliver, because they're sort of focusing on the courses that they know that they can fill and therefore know that will make them money. So that was quite an interesting one.
And yeah, Molly, you went along too. Are you enjoying yourself, Molly? Are you finding it good so far? You've been, what is it, like a week, just over a week now, week and a half?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the first week was a little bit information overload, just hearing about the manufacturing world, and you get to know all the terms and the acronyms, and sometimes I'm not sure what everyone's talking about still, but I'm getting there. But yeah, it was really good to go along to the press launch and see a few faces and learn a few names and stuff. So definitely things to look out for me.
Nice one, folks. JD, what are you doing apart from trying to like not melt, because it's what, like 36, 37 degrees over there at the moment?
36 degrees today, but with the humidity, they call it the real feel, 42 degrees. Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah. That's the thing. It's like there's hot countries, but then the Philippines is just really humid, so you just sweat.
I remember stopping over in Singapore on the way to Australia when I was younger, and it is that sort of close kind of like almost, yeah, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. Where you get hot weather in Europe, it's like it's obviously hot, but it's not got that sort of close humidity feel. Yeah. Anyway, I digress completely. What's up, brother?
Yeah, no, all good. A story that I'd like to highlight on the website, if I can, is very relevant as well. Made Smarter and Tech Institutes have written a white paper for demystifying digital transformation. So Made Smarter and leading technology demonstrators have joined forces to demystify digital transformation with a new white paper. Made Smarter Technologies Powering the Digital Transformation of SME Manufacturers is a practical guide from the government-backed and industry-led technology adoption program in the Northwest. It's free to download. It's full of good stuff. So I would recommend everyone to have a look at it. It's on the manufacturer website under the Digital Transformation channel.
Hello, listener. Just a quick one. Are you coming to the Smart Manufacturing and Engineering Week in Birmingham this year? Because you should be. Not least because we've got our Manufacturing Digitalization Summit, which is in its fourth year now. It's running on the 5th and 6th of June, and it will focus on the application of digital technologies that are enhancing the processes, efficiencies, and outcomes of the manufacturing industry.
You get quite a broad range of manufacturing sectors, and some are ahead of the curve and some are just starting.
It's just fantastic to see everybody together, really working together and sharing ideas and knowledge, and that's how we're genuinely going to transform the industry.
Across the same 2 days and back for its seventh year, we've got our Industrial Data and AI Summit. This is specifically for analysts, scientists and other data professionals. This summit drills down beyond digital transformation and dashboards to topics of greater intellectual challenge, depth, and focus.
Take off the sort of the technical language and all of the legalese that might associate with this and say, how are you dealing with this in your own business?
It's quite nice to know you're not alone, that you're not the only person having that challenge or coming up against that barrier or that obstacle.
Both summits will run in our usual roundtable discussion sessions format, which allows you to share pain points, experiences, and even explore solutions with one another. So get yourself to the NEC in Birmingham on the 5th and 6th of June. Book your place by visiting themanufacturer.com/events. That's themanufacturer.com/events.
Very nice. And actually, digital transformation has had a bit of an overload of content recently because we've had some interesting trips recently. To be honest, I've been to Schneider Electric, I've been to Barnsley to visit the JJA Snack Factory. You heard coverage of that on the opening episode of our digital transformation series, or was it the opening episode? It was at some point during the digital transformation series. Videos on the Schneider Electric connected office where they've done like a Lego recreation of the office, the US office, and they've shown how Schneider's like connected electric products work within this office. I really wasn't helped by any of you the other day when, has anyone watched the US office? For listener, if you've watched the office, the US office, then, or even if you haven't actually, you will be aware of the phrase, "That's what she said." And actually, I've got to say, as far as like innuendos go, the office is pretty tame, right? It's certainly tamer than the English office, which I think is definitely more rude. It's kind of like gentle innuendo. I was trying to find a suitable thing to put online to say, "That's what she said," to kind of set myself up for a "That's what she said." I put it in the group. Molly was no help. Joe hasn't seen the office. Lana just said, "Don't put that, you'll get sacked." JD, I don't know, JD might have been asleep.
Yes. I think I just ignored it, yeah.
I'd have ignored it, to be fair, mate. I'd have ignored it. So I ended up not putting this online. Cool story, bro. Go and check that video out. The JJA Snack Factory visit pertains to chocolate. So have a look at that as well, and that's an interesting story.
While we're on the subject of innuendo bingo, we had our MD giving a little bit of giggle at the phrase "electric tongue" yesterday, didn't we?
Very good. Dolly tug. The much loved Dolly tug from Arrigo as well. That got a laugh. That got a laugh. James laughed at that. All good stuff. We've also got some good partner content up at the moment from we've got GE Vernova, and we have Joe I'm not actually sure how you pronounce Joe's surname. Joe Gerstel or Gerstel. He spoke to me a few weeks ago, and we've got a nice little video clip of him talking about how SaaS, software as a service, has become a real viable option nowadays for manufacturers. Keep a lookout for that interview, because that's going to be out in full at some point in the manufacturer archives. Oh, and actually, while we're speaking about that, the latest episode of that featured Asif Mogul's interview in full. You may have already read that on the Manufacturer magazine, and you may have already heard a clip of that in our main podcast series. So loads of good stuff. Go and check out the website.
Can I just say, while we're prompting listeners, I would just like to say, if you're out there and you like listening to content, which I'm sure you do, which is why you're listening to this podcast in the first place, we now have a audio function on our website. So if you're on the train or out on a walk and you want some top manufacturing content and you can't be bothered to read anything, we now have an option where you can listen to our articles rather than read them. So, you know, another string to our bow, another option in terms of how you consume the content from the manufacturer. So check out the website. There should be play buttons at the top of some articles as we add them. So, yeah, listen rather than read.
Yeah, this is really good, actually. Although I was a little bit disappointed to learn yesterday that it's just set voices. Like, you can't dub someone else's voice over the top. Like, I don't know, 5 tips on digital transformation by Brian Blessed, or you know, as read by Stephen Fry.
I'm currently getting quotes from Stephen Fry and Tom Hardy on what it would cost for them to read our content. Yeah, or Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman would be good, wouldn't he?
Morgan Freeman would be excellent.
Yeah.
Digital transformation.
That's not bad.
Brain.
Was that Morgan Freeman or Stephen Hawking?
No, I don't know. I sound like Stephen Hawking.
Now it's time for Made by a Moron. Made by a Moron.
Gawang Tanga,
as it's increasingly being called in the Philippines. The part of a pod where we discuss a thing, a product, sometimes a person that we deem to be made by a moron. This started off as a bit of a joke, and it's actually become, well, to be honest, I don't know if anyone else likes it, but we bloody love it. So we do it most weeks, and James is a convert. James didn't understand it at first, but he has submitted some fantastic submissions.
I believe
he might have one this week, and we might have the return of Jacqueline. But no pressure. I just want to open this up to you as the newcomer.
Well, I did have a think about this, but I'm not sure. Obviously, if it's been mentioned before, but you know, all the new bottle caps in the UK are attached to the bottle, and when you undo the bottle lid.
Oh, it just hangs off.
It's like pressing against your nose, or it's like digging into you, or you don't know that it's attached, and then you're like aggressively trying to pull off the bottle cap. And it's all for recycling. I think it's a really good initiative, but I just don't know how practical it is when you're drinking or using the bottle. I find it a bit annoying.
This is really interesting, because we've covered this. Coca-Cola made an announcement a couple of years ago, or no, last year, about the attached cap. Made quite a big deal out of it in terms of like the recyclability and the sustainability element. But what we didn't really cover is what you kind of highlighted there, is in terms of how practical it is for the user. And I know what you mean. It does hit you in the face a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's just awkward. It's just not the greatest. But I'm all for recycling, so it's fine. Keep them together, if that's what the plan is. I think it's so you don't leave bottle caps everywhere, like they wasn't being attached and recycled together, was they, or something like that.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
we did talk about this. We have mentioned it before, haven't we? Because Joe and James talked about a time back when they were kids, long, long time ago, when you had to rip like a how you would now open a tin. Like with like a rip coil. They used to do that for drinks as well, did they?
Oh, the original soft drink ring pulls, yeah.
A can of Coke.
You go, and then...
Yeah, and it came off.
You know what? I mock it, but it actually sounds quite cool.
Yeah, you felt quite manly doing it, yeah.
Wait till you hear what James has got, because he...
Wait till I show you. It's here. It's on my desk in front of me.
Oh, wow. We've got a show and tell coming up.
Has this been ordered from some weird website again?
No, this was actually purchased by my wife, Jacqueline, who made a brief cameo on this podcast a few weeks ago. And she bought this in a store the other day. And I'm not sure which is... worse, okay, the fact that she bought it without realizing and then realized afterwards that it is literally Gawang Tanga, because she paid money for this, right? And now I'll show you what it is. Okay, I'll show you what it is. It's a measuring
before you do, have we actually explained to Molly what Gawang Tanga is?
Gawang Tanga, Molly, is basically made by a moron in Filipino. I speak pretty much fluent Filipino, so it's the literal translation of made by a moron. Or I think it's made by an idiot, actually.
But this came about by accident, didn't it? Because your wife used that phrase with no reference at all to the podcast, did she?
Yeah, no. She said, ding namo, it's gawang tanga. And I'm like, yeah, that's made by a moron. It's perfect. But yeah, so I'm gonna show you this. Okay, I'm gonna show you this. I'm gonna tell you what it is first, then I'm gonna show you it. And I want first person to answer, tell me what the problem is with this product. Okay, ready? Now, it's a measuring jug. It's a measuring jug, okay, for measuring liquids, right? Can you see it?
So, yeah.
It's opaque. It's opaque. Completely and utterly opaque. It's black with the measurements on the outside. Can you see it? Look, I put my hand inside. You can't see my hand, yeah? How the hell are you supposed to measure liquid with that?
For a podcast, it's obviously no one can see it, but you've explained
I'll take,
it.
I'll take a picture.
You've explained
picture.
It.
But you've explained it perfectly. You might as well get a black box and just write some stuff on it.
But the thing is, Jacqueline bought this because she needed a measuring jug. And it's only when she got home and then went, and she swears as well, Jacqueline. It's funny. When she swears in English more. And she went, for f***ing sake. And I went, what? And she went, look at it. It's Gawangdanga. And I went, yeah, that is perfect. It's like, yeah, look at it.
James, we're going to need to get your good lady wife back.
What now?
Oh, absolutely. Come on. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's things like the measuring jug that's why we do Made by a Moron, right? For things just like that.
Jacqueline's here. Come here, darling. Wait, you've got some flour on your face or something. Look, just hold that up to the camera and say it's Gawangdanga.
Gawangdanga.
I mean, it really is, isn't it? Yeah, you bought it. You bought it, yeah.
Should we wrap it up, folks?
Let's.
That was good. That was a good episode. I enjoyed that. Molly, first of many.
Yes, hopefully.
First of many, less so.
If anyone is celebrating the Easter weekend as a religious feast, then in all seriousness, do have a very, very peaceful, very fulfilled weekend. If you're just in it for the big chocolate eggs, then that's also fine. If you're in it for neither, Joe, then I hope you have a terrible weekend.
We'll see you next time.
Well, happy yours as well.
We'll see you next time, listener. Do take care until then.
I'm off to watch Life of Brian.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because it's
Easter. It's my favourite Easter movie.